this Thursday afternoon, July the 12th, 2018, at 2 p.m. to order. Please stand. The flag of our country being in the place of honor. Right hand salute. Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ron, are you ready for the invocation this afternoon? Very good.
Thank you, Governor, and join me in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God of the universe, we humbly come in here for us today. I ask your blessing upon all those gathered here, upon the leadership of this organization. We ask you to give them discernment, understanding, wisdom, and guide and direct all of our deliberations today. We also pray for our government, that you would keep them safe and give them wisdom in how they conduct the affairs of this nation. We pray for peace, that let us always be prepared for war. And Lord, we just ask that you bless this meeting in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated.
We have a motion.
Say what?
I'm sorry.
We were going to ask to adjourn.
Take out the last one.
That's why I got this over here. Roll call by board members, by organization, Mr. Secretary.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, 14-8, Steve Fledinger.
Here.
Patrick Law. American Legion Post 14, Dixie Hotelling.
Here.
American Legion Post 176, Michael Gibson.
Here.
Jonathan Frederick.
Excused.
American Veterans Post 6, John Lovejoy.
Present.
Michael Langsdorf.
Excused.
DAV Chapter 4, Board Chair, Boris Giesler.
Present.
Frank Hyatt.
Here.
Korean War Veterans Association, Chapter 321, Earl Edwards, Jason Atkins, Marine Corps League 826, Ron Brandon,
here.
Steve Fletcher,
here.
VFW Post 4278, Shannon Roberts,
here.
Sharon Apke, VFW Post 7024, Bruce Moss, Board Secretary, here. Tanya Wark, excused. VFW Post 12028, Skip Bench,
here.
Vietnam Veterans, Chapter 512, Greg Quinsett.
Here.
Nick Herbert.
Excused.
Members at Large, Board Vice Chair, Kelly Jones.
Here.
Kevin Lawson. Alan Martinez.
Here.
James Meade. David Daly.
Here.
Michael Hardy.
Here.
Brian Gillis. Clark County Representative, Rebecca Royce.
Here.
And in the back, who do we have with us today?
I think they're all up front.
They're all up front today. We have Judy Russell, Sharon Tyre, and that's all I see from the Assistant Center.
Okay. The next item on the agenda. And I will entertain a motion if we want to dispense with the reading of those minutes of June 14th. 2018. They were all sent out. So okay, we have it. Do I have a second?
Well, Morris, I want to propose some sort of change to the minutes. That there was a motion for the VSO that was made, but I thought there was supposed to be some sort of conversation about on the hiring process of that VSO, and I believe the contract is somewhere around here, and I looked in some of it, the contract, and I didn't see anything in the contract about our input on who the VSO is. Is that correct?
Yeah,
thanks. Yeah. Thank you for that. So I remember Dave made a comment about, you know, really wanting to contract is issued to a VSO, I'd really like to know how, what is that input that we're going to get to have in that process, or if any. So I don't know how.
Okay, at this particular time, I just received that contract sitting here at this board meeting. I have not had a chance to go through this contract to look and see what's left out or what's in it, and it will probably go before the council maybe in a couple of weeks. So we've got plenty of time.
Okay.
And we will get back, and if there's anything that needs to be changed in it and that type of thing, you will get a message from Samantha or from Rebecca, either one or both.
Sam.
So
Sam will be back in the office on Monday. So.
No problem.
So I haven't had a chance to look at it either.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I just wanted that was a concern of mine. I wanted it to be brought forward. So thank you.
Okay. All right.
Can I have a copy of that proposed?
I don't know.
So we can send out a copy via email after when Sam gets back in the office.
Yeah, I was hoping that we'd get out to everyone before we had this meeting, but.
So that means there's no change in the minutes of last month?
No, there's no change at this particular time.
Okay.
So I just want to offer that we shouldn't lose track of the timeline here. We have a certain amount of time from October 1st that we need to spend the money that we have.
That's true.
And the quicker we can, I understand business like that, but the quicker that we can get this kind of thing into it going, better.
Yeah, I think this will probably help us out quite a bit and some other organizations as well.
Steve Gill is coming on August 3rd.
What?
Steve Gill. Stephen Gill.
Oh, Steve is?
He's coming on August 3rd to meet with Samantha.
Oh, well, then.
Who is Stephen Gill?
He is the contractor
August
3rd. Of the WDBA. He's down to discuss this, and I'm assuming that they won't do anything until they bring it before this board.
Right. Well, that's true. This contract will have to be back, and you all have to have copies of it so that you can review it. Otherwise, I'm going to holler at them.
We only have two more meetings before
October. That's very true. So if we get these things out this next week to each of the board members, they can go through it, and if they have any recommendations, get back to us. And I'm saying us from the standpoint of community services, because they're our administrative center. So I'm sure that Samantha understands that.
Question back.
Sorry, just a quick question. I'm taking a class, so people don't know me. I'm at WorkSource. So I just recently went to a veteran summit at Lake Chelan, where everybody from the state came together that works under WorkSource and other partners as well. And we actually had a small panel of the other three or four counties in our state that actually have VSOs that are paid by their county's funds. Have we reached out to any of those or found out best practices or maybe lessons that they learned that they wish they would have had in their contract to make sure that our county is setting the new standard and making sure that we care for our veterans?
Hey, that's a good point. I can start to do that. Does anyone else want to help? I think that's a great idea, Tiffany.
Well, before you do that, I would recommend, let me have a conversation with Samantha. So Samantha is absent today. She's the one that oversees. And so I'm not sure what work she did before putting this together. So she might have already done that, and there's no use doing double.
I just wanted to make sure we thought about that as well, because I would hate for us to miss out on a great opportunity that other counties have learned throughout time, and to make sure that we're where we need to be, or maybe a little bit above.
And you said there was three other counties?
I think there's three or four. I can get you that information as well, or I can send it to Sam or anybody else that's here on the board. But I can get that information as well.
Yeah, that would be great. If you wouldn't mind sending that to Sam, and I'll talk to her Monday when she's back in the office so she has a heads up of why she has that.
Sounds good.
I think there's four of them.
Point of
of order, we need to approve the minutes. I realize we went back into business, but we're still in the approval of minutes.
Well, this is discussion of the question.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion on the minutes? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, contrary, sign. Passed. Okay. Now then. Do we have Michael?
No, he's not here. I'll be.
You're going to be the one that's
I coming. Am the one.
All right.
So I have a few different things. I understand you guys were wanting to have some information about veteran homelessness here in Clark County. And so several people handed me a bunch of information to talk to you about it today. So I'm going to go through the information that was provided to me. If you're not aware, there is a veteran by name list, which includes all veterans in Clark County who have been identified as needing housing. The Veteran by Name List Coalition used to meet once per month for an hour to review and update that list, but they've recently decided to meet twice a month for 2 hours to make more progress on that, that activity. The Veterans Assistance Center is part of this effort and has been doing research to get contact information for veterans on the list. And that coalition will start contacting each person on the list to identify resources and make those housing connections. So that's the next step for that that group, that coalition. We spoke with Kate Budd with the Council for the Homeless, the Housing Solutions Center, and they oversee our homeless management information system where we enter information about anybody who's homeless, so we have a database. And she pulled some information for us. She said that between January 1st and June 30th of this year, there have been 160 homeless veterans reported in the HMIS system seeking assistance who are literally homeless and who sought assistance through the Veterans Assistance Center. Then there's 224 homeless veterans who have been supported through other programs such as diversion, which is keeping them out of the homeless system with case management type supports. Through shelter assistance and through housing programs in that same January 1st to June 30th. That number does not include the veterans who were seen through the Veterans Assistance Center because that information is not entered by the Veterans Assistance Center at this time. And she also mentioned that 94 of those 224 veterans who've been entered into HMIS and received some sort of housing assistance were served in a permanent housing program such as VASH or a permanent supported housing program. That is the information I have specifically for Clark County. Sam also thought you might be interested to know that HUD and the Department of Veterans Affairs announced recently in April that they were gonna that $43 million was going to 325 local public housing agencies, so our Vancouver Housing Authority would be one of those agencies, to provide permanent housing to more than 5,200 veterans. There's more than 87,000 vouchers that have been awarded, and approximately 144,000 homeless veterans have been served through the VASH program since 2008. Here in Vancouver, with those additional dollars, we will, the Vancouver Housing Authority received an additional 25 VASH vouchers in the amount of $174,693. We also wanted to share that the Department of Community Services worked with a consultant to put together a report about behavioral health challenges, housing for people with behavioral health challenges, so mental health issues or drug use issues. It's been recently published, and this is what it looks like. If you'd like a full copy, we can email it to you. Sam thought you might be interested in some of the information that's in here. So she highlighted some things for me to let you know about. In this report, there's some really good recommendations. This is not veteran specific, it's more general behavioral health challenges, but we know that does include the veteran population. One of the recommendations is to continue to increase availability of site-based and scattered site and master leased supported housing. Site-based is like Lincoln Place, where they're all in one location. Scattered sites throughout the community with different landlords. Master lease is where an agency leases a unit but can house several people for several months at a time, and they just roll them into new clients instead of them having their own lease, their own unit. They also recommended to create a 24/7 multidisciplinary supportive housing team that is specifically funded and trained to work with people who are in or moving into supportive housing. And they recommended to develop a network of supportive housing for people with behavioral health challenges that use common standards and prioritizes people exiting psychiatric hospitals or inpatient facilities. Recommendations that they had were to develop a central city concern model short-term recovery housing program. So you might be familiar with like ATR, which Access to Recovery in the Oxford houses. That's that type of model. Until that SRO is developed, they recommend exploring master leasing single-family homes. And they recommend engaging Central City Concern to do a series of shared learning activities with the recovery and housing communities. Are there questions? They recommend convening a task force that includes DSHS, Lincoln Place staff, crisis services, and residential care providers to discuss ways to improve access to in-home and residential care settings for people with severe mental illness and or active substance use. They then did an in-depth review of the existing funding sources, and there's a whole section on here, and it talks about rental assistance, different types of supportive services, and the funding that's available currently. And then there's a conclusion combined recommendations section at the end of this. So it's very in-depth, and we highly recommend that you take a look and actually read through it, not just the highlighted recommendations section. That's what I have.
Does somebody refresh my memory about why we paid them $70,000 if they got additional money in bash dollars? What was that 74 again?
For the council for homeless?
Yeah.
The contract's right here. Just so we got it, you know, I think that's kind of some of the problem is that we all aren't familiar with the contracts and we approve them and we need to all go through the contracts, read what's inside of it, what our intentions are, and figure out what is that money. And if we stay on top of that, we're going to be good. But there are a lot of questions, you know. So Dixie and myself are going to be reading these contracts, our current policies and procedures, one of these Sundays coming up, just together, because there have been changes in the policies and procedures. And we're going to be going over the contracts to see if there's going to be any things in here that we don't understand or we need to tweak. And we'll go ahead and do that one. We're going to invite anybody else who wants to come. Is policy and procedures, so we understand that not a lot of people want to do that.
But you're welcome.
But you're welcome. So, yeah, so what the deal is they're trying to get the money out there to get it spent. Yeah. Yeah, like, it's other people get their hands on the money. Because the idea is that, you know, this place is expanding and it's getting big. And if we don't figure out how to spend this money, they're going to figure out how to divert the funds eventually. We're not figuring out how to spend this money. They're not going to trust us, right? So rather than seeing the money spent on sidewalks and all sorts of other things, let's start figuring out who else can get out there and start getting this money spent on veterans. And this was another resource we had at the time that also does housing. So
we essentially just paid them to do the job they're already supposed to do.
So I can tell you from the county that we are not able or not able. We do research to make sure that we are not funding existing programs. So the program that is going on with Council for the Homeless, I understand, is diversion which is different than the VASH vouchers. So the VASH is paying for the actual housing rent assistance. Diversion is diverting them from the homeless system altogether, and it's not rental subsidies.
Okay. And then I can't say we, but I, from experience, that is just a resource that everybody has. It's not only VASH that is able to acquire that resource. You access them through the Council for the Homeless. So people over at Clean Street can even access those funds also. You might not be able to access the VASH voucher, but you might be able to get these diversion funds, you know. So they are a little bit different. So, and Kelly, anytime you want to talk about this stuff and get it figured out.
She answered my question about what I'll ask was what the 70 was for. So, got it.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Tiffany?
Question.
Go ahead.
Also, as an update for that money down at the Council of Homeless, we actually just had a meeting on Tuesday. We'll be meeting in 2 weeks, so the diversion money, we want to get it spent so we can show that. There will be a group of us, a bunch of service providers that are going to be meeting and calling all those numbers of that 126 people that you talked about that are asking for help, see if they qualify for diversion so that we can get those funds and make sure that they don't get kicked out of their homes. So there is stuff kind of behind the scenes that we're working on getting that money spent, because right now, you're right, it is kind of sitting there, but they're working on getting those that are eligible for diversion. They don't know that it's there right now, so we're going to call all of them and tell them, see if they qualify. Not only that, but if they don't, is there something else that we know of that they may qualify for? So there is a plan to help you utilize that. If you want to come make phone calls, definitely come with us. There'll be a lot of.
I'm just looking at people that are in homes who have jobs but can't afford to live outside of those group homes right now. So affordable housing is more of my issue than this stuff. So, I mean, it's an issue, but, you know, they still can't get out into the community because they can't afford to. So where are we addressing that for our veterans who are right there on the fence for that? That's my concern.
So maybe that's a new initiative that we need to start, is to help those people that are in that type of housing. Do we pay the first and last to get them into a place and let them take over the rent if they can afford that? I mean, we can afford to do that with the money that we have now.
A lot of things that we can do as long as we're following the policies and procedures and meeting state definitions. There's a lot of things that we can do. We just have to be creative and figure out what do we want to do. There is definitely, and this is really the time, Kelly. Like, I mean, this is really the time to think about that. This is the time for, you know, Dave's kind of thought of some things. You know, you're in, let's say now we've got the mental health guy here, you know, that was on a board that can tell us, hey, look, you know, this is really the time for that. It really, really is. So, and we're going to be just getting more and more money. So, and we're going to have to get spent.
Do we have the demographic breakout of the group of by name veterans is ages, and I know they're primarily probably male, but I think that would help me wrap my head around, are we still, you know, with the same group of people that are in this continuous issue, or do we keep adding younger veterans to the mix? And what are we not getting right by adding the younger veterans to that mix? What can we do to stop that blood flow, I guess. I mean, stem the bleeding as far as however
you
want to put it.
So you want to know what the demographic of the indigent population looks like, the indigent veteran, that state definition, what does that demographic look like? Yeah, so is that something we can get?
Yeah, we can get information, demographics through the American Community Survey.
It would just
survey.
Be interesting to see if it's getting younger as opposed to the same ones we know. The certain percentage that aren't going to come off the streets, and the other percentage that continue to stay on the streets, and the ones that go in and out. But are we now adding an influx of younger ones in there, and why is that happening?
Are you wanting to know the population that would qualify for these funds that meet the income requirements for this fund?
Well, I think we need this fund, any fund, I think we just need to get a handle on who are our veterans
that's
on
exactly
the street,
right.
What
yeah.
ages are we
the,
dealing with, what era are we dealing
lists.
With. Yeah.
That is the, and that's basically what it is. There's time and point counts where they actually go out. I participated in that, and we actually put hands on, walk under bridges and everything to find out who is identifying themselves as homeless. That's been going on for quite a while. I think that such a complicated issue. And the deal is, though, is from experience, I'm not talking from computed data, I'm talking about what I've noticed as somebody that works in a hospital as a medical professional in a mental health department, that homeless prevention is a tad bit different than the group of people that matriculate into the hospital system. It's really odd that the matriculation into the medical system, the VA, the VHA, there's a lot of people that when they hit that 40-year-old time frame, that's when they're coming into the system, whether it's finally they hit their bottom or finally they're in a place of stability, that's kind of when they roll in. So a lot of times from the perspective of helping people that are coming into the hospital, you might see, look, the population seems to stay the same age-wise or something, but and who identifies themselves as needing help as a homeless person, you might not be doing it as a young person. You might say, I got some fight in myself still, so it just depends on who's identifying, you know, but there are the time and place, the veteran by name list that we can find that out. All that stuff is there.
The 224 people that have reached out to the Housing Solutions Center for some sort of housing assistance, we can get demographic information specifically on them also. That's part of the reason for having the homeless, the HMIS system.
I think that would be interesting, you know, for everybody here to see that, who is the demographic. I think, I'm kind of glad you asked about that because I work with those folks every single day. So I assume that everybody kind of has an idea of what the population looks like.
Well, and some of us in here work with those who are right in between. So they're just 1 foot from this, and they're just barely trying to survive. And a lot of that is because...
That's kind of like what I'm wondering. How many are just 1 foot away from a bad situation? Because young people, they have a tendency to couch surf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to the 40-year-old that you were referring to. The 26-year-old veteran is technically homeless, but they're couch surfing, so they're not underneath the bridge and sleeping in the park or whatever, but essentially they're homeless.
So there is a category called imminent. This is for people that are entering the VA system and attempting to acquire HUD and VASH benefits. They call it imminent risk of being homeless. You're not necessarily homeless, but you still have to self-identify. You still have to self-identify.
But then there's this people, young vets, that don't know how to go anywhere or do anything, and I think it still comes back that we don't market ourselves well.
That say that again?
We don't market ourselves and our services very well for veterans. And I still think that we have a web page, yes, but I think if we did a really good marketing campaign and to let these people know what services are available, didn't have to be anything elaborate. Are you a veteran? Do you need help? Call this number.
So other than the stand downs, and other than the VA has community reintegration services outreach. So other than the stand downs that the VAC participates, what are recommendations for outreach, other than a website? I think,
Put signs. I mean, billboards or posters up all around town, all around the county. It doesn't have to be elaborate.
I think the other thing that we were talking about, Judy and Sharon, were the fact that, outreach. Once they can get the bodies to be able to go into the different, Clean Street, where whoever you're working with, the Veterans Center, whatever, to let them clearly know what their options are and what they're eligible for. That takes hiring somebody, getting the right person, getting them on a schedule to do outreach in these organizations, and then that's why some of us exist in those organizations to try to bridge that gap as well. But, it's daunting.
There's one other organization called 211 Info, and they are aware of this program. So if anybody calls asking for any type of a service, one of the questions they ask is if they're a veteran, because then it triggers to offer any of veteran services that are here in Clark County. So that it's not nearly enough, and I agree, more outreach. There's always more outreach that we can do for all of our
programs. Well, the problem with that is, you can call or go here or whatever, and we all know that they're not going to do that. I mean, you know, most of the younger ones just don't understand the process, and it's not that they're stupid by any means. It's just that they're inundated with paperwork and policies and procedures and eligibility and this and the other. It's not simple. It's not simple. I mean, I've had one. He
That's
went to seven different organizations in one day, five kids, and he was still on the streets. He didn't qualify for one damn thing in this county, and I don't get that. I don't get how that can happen. He goes and he asks for help to get his family into a house, and at the end of the day, his family's still in the car because he didn't qualify for anything, because they kept sending him from one place to the other.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he said, screw it.
Right.
That's why we have, like, DVOPs, and there aren't very many of us. They have some wonderful people at the colleges as well that we do as much as we can. You're right.
Judy,
I
did you have a comment?
I got an idea from you, Kelly.
I do have a comment.
Good.
In the new budget that we're proposing, there is a request for an additional half-time service officer who would do exactly that, who would go out to Clean Street, who would go out to the college, who would go out anywhere. And this person is a case manager, so they would be able to, like, take a veteran, like a family, and say, okay, hey, they could walk them through the steps. They could go with them to do the steps to help that family get off the street then, right then, or that veteran to get off the street right then. So that's certainly something that we have looked at, and we have hired an individual who's capable of doing that. Our new halftime CSO is Denise Bender. And you may all know Denise. She's a little fireball, and she will get out there and track every single veteran.
That's putting it mildly.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's obviously that we need some exposure through maybe some of our veteran organizations, as well as the advisory board, as well as the college, as well as the new program here at the Clean Street. There is a lot of people out here that have some needs, but a lot of times they don't know where to go. And when they get there, you're right, they're handed off to somebody else who may not have as much insight as what these folks have gone through. That has been one of the problems that we have with membership, by the way, in these organizations. Okay, well, this next item. We found out about the homelessness, and now we are looking at Clark County Veterans Assistance Center with a budget request for 2018. And I have some notes on that particular one. The contract that they hold today, numbered 2016 VAF, which is Veterans Assistance Fund, -01. Now, that contract that they have at the center was done back in January 2016, and it runs through December 31, 2018. So we have an active contract right now. What we're asking for is an addition, and I think you've all received a copy of that, did you not? Should have been part of your, let's see where my copy got to here. Here it is, right where it belongs. Veterans assistance. So we want to go $522,000, and we want to keep it $522,000. No change in that particular line item. Personnel cost. We were at $63,346, and we want to go to $84,537, and this is to talk about the part-time service officer. That's in addition to, is that correct? In addition to the one that we have had throughout the contract.
One and a half. This would be a half-time addition.
Okay, this will be the second half-time is what you're asking for?
That's correct.
Okay, all right. Which kind of makes sense. Now, I know you've just had a change of that part-time person. So you now have a new part-time service officer.
Right.
You still have the full-time service officer also.
Correct.
Okay, very good. Now, let's go on down the program a little bit here. Program operating cost. No change in that. Still $14,900. Okay. Rent and utilities, and this I'm assuming is where you hang your hats 5 days a week,
right?
8 hours a day.
Right. We don't have any change in there yet because our contract with the landlord runs through December, and we don't typically get any increased requests until late October.
Yeah.
So we may be coming back to this board and asking them for an increase in that.
Well, we've had
utilities.
And we've had several increases since we got there.
What's the new building looking like? You're still looking for a new building. Right?
We're always looking.
When we first got that building, we actually was in the $30,000 range.
We only had the bottom floor at that time.
That's true. And then in 16, we got up to $44,400 for rent and utilities. Then in 17, we took another hit. We went $50,400. We have since that time stayed at that same amount.
Actually, what happened was when we took the $6,000 hit was because he turned the utilities over to us. Prior to that time, he had paid the utilities in our rent. And then at that point, 16, he added the utilities to our lease. And this past year, he raised our rent $100 per month. That was all, from $3,700 to
$3,800.
Okay. If we've investigated, and the $3,800 for the space we have is fantastic rent.
Okay, now as the same, with the stand down, we started out with in 2016 $7,000, which was a little bit more than what we had originally planned for that. Do we have any additional funding for the stand down?
We have applied for the federal grant.
Okay.
And we usually raise a couple $1,000s from the community, which we are in the process of trying to do.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Because I know in 17 we went up to $8,000.
Right.
And that's going to stay the same for 18. Okay. All right. Now the next item down here is administration. And we want an increase in administration because how did we get to 65 hours per week?
Right now we have a full-time and a half-time admin.
Mm-hmm.
One of us is there all the time. So we want to add 5 hours a week to that admin hours. Because not only they look at every folder. They do all the bookkeeping. They do all the accept the payroll. There's the VAB meeting, the Coalition of Service Providers, the Reentry Program, the VBLN, the Homeless Ideas meetings. All of those other things are included in that total. So we don't bill for anything else except that amount that you see in this contract.
Okay, I might ask then, is your board looking to put in any funding for this particular item?
No.
Why not?
Board, because our center is run strictly on donations and fundraisers.
Right.
And that's what keeps the center running. I mean, this body pays the rent and the electric.
Yes.
Everything else is paid by the center. So when we have veterans who come in and they're hungry or thirsty, or we have to pay the phone bill, or we have to pay the internet, all of those things are paid by the center. So the center has doesn't have the money to contribute to any extra admin hours. So that's why we came to the board to ask for extra admin hours.
Okay, all right. Now, are any of these people volunteers?
Of course, they volunteer. Anytime that they're not there working, they're there volunteering, or they're out doing something else for the center. So.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is the fact that you would like to have an additional 5 hours a week.
Right.
Or, well, actually, 10 hours. Okay, so it looks like we're looking at $592,046 that we've had for through 18 to this point, and what they are requesting is to raise that to $625, $197,000, so that it's looking to be an increase of $33,151, or about 6%, as what I've got here. So that's open for a recommendation or a motion or that particular aspect.
Yes. So can you help me understand with stand down? What is that $8,000 going to? Because it seems to me like that's a pretty spartan amount. So what is that doing? Because I feel like the ask is too light, honestly. What I'm telling you is it just doesn't seem like, having been involved with stand down for a lot of years now and being involved with one here, it doesn't seem like that's, I'm not sure how you're paying the bills to do the stand down.
Well, we're not totally with this money.
Right.
We always apply for the federal grant,
sure,
which is another $7,000. We always go out into the community and raise funds. And we also try to get as many vendors as possible to donate their services or their equipment or whatever it is. So.
Right. Now, because I was looking at the number, I was trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I didn't want to cut ourselves short, is what my concern was. Because if we're talking about.
Well, if you
6%.
Want to give us more money for the stand down, we'd love it.
Well, that's where I'm kind of going with this. If you're asking for a 6% increase of $35,000,
right,
you're under that number. And I think if we're looking at a basic operation of business, looking at 6% year-over-year operational cost, why not put a little more money in a stand down, like $2,000 more, 25% more money?
Be great.
And at that point, we're still within the guidelines of 6%. And anybody in here that runs a business knows that 6% is the cost of doing business year-over-year. So I think that should be one of the ways you approach it, is this is our expected growth year over year. Let's actually do the smart thing with the money and not undercut ourselves. I mean, I hate to say that I'm spending money and trying to do things, but I don't want it to be where we're shorting ourselves in an area where it's one of the biggest outreaches we have for the veterans in this area. I think it's important that we spend that money there.
Dave, I might piggyback on that. I think you're right about spending the money. I really think the money needs to be spent, and I think that there's a lot of ways that the money can be spent. And some of that, I think, is by hiring the right employees. dynamics of the changing face of homelessness. Not everybody can do it. Everybody might want to be able to do that work, but you do need trained professionals to do the work. So when you're, you know, hiring, you know, people without the credentials, you know, you're not having to pay them as much. So I think that I would like to see the Veterans Assistance Center moving in a direction where there are trained professionals working case management positions there. And I understand that more money might be spent, but we got Tiffany Plaus here from WorkSource Oregon, and she could, oh, sorry, Washington, sorry about that, but I'm an Oregonian my whole entire life, and I'm a Washingtonian, thank God. You know, she can get us a printout of what somebody with a bachelor's degree in social services or community services makes, and we can ask the people with those credentials that are also veterans be hired. And I think, you know, with that, what would happen a lot would be there would be a lot more collaboration with the veterans that use the services at the Veterans Assistance Center. Last thing I want to do is lose the Veterans Assistance Center, because I think that it is an undeniable access point that is vital to the city of Vancouver. And it is a real staple here, but I believe that there needs to be some sort of professionalization when it comes to giving more money. You know, if we're going to get more money, let's get a bang for the buck out of it and make sure that people are getting it.
Can I make a motion that we add for the stand down from $8,000 to $11,000, increase it $3,000 for this?
Well,
we're working on getting the money spent that we have, in addition to what he says in your motion to, which sounds logical to me, is increase it, and let's have the best possible stand down that we could ever have, because it is the biggest outreach.
Well, and again, you know, the 6% that I was talking about stays within anybody's business. That's a typical range of growth, so it's not painful to anybody who's looking at this from a financial aspect.
Right.
And I think if we can do that to the stand down and support the center board regularly doing it, give them wider support, because I know that, like, you know, my organization is going to be the stand down, and other organizations are going to be there. The more support we get to make that happen.
Right, and there's no reason why they should have to go scrounge around in a public atmosphere when the money that we may have is here, and then their time could be well spent doing something else.
Be nice too, because then they don't have to figure out, well, do you do this or this? They don't have to necessarily cut. Maybe they can have those other, because going to those meetings, if you've ever been to those meetings, it's always a, well, are we going to do this or are we going to do this year? Well, we would love to do this, because it would be a great service that we could provide these veterans, but we can't afford it.
I do know that this fund cannot pay for 100% of the stand down, because it can only serve veterans up to the income limit. And I'm not saying no to this. I'm just saying, just to keep that in mind, that
no,
it can't
I
fund it.
I'm just looking at the overall growth. And since there's still some room in that growth, I think putting it towards stand down is the best bang for the buck.
And we always do have to raise funds. That's part of the federal grant request as well. So we always have to raise private funds as well as this.
Okay.
They're also in the service center, in the rent increase, the builder has accommodated just about everything that they wanted and upgraded, like the floors, moved around office space for the convenience of the center. And of course, it benefits the center.
I had a question real quick. The Veterans Assistance Center will still be there without administering the fund, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very true.
That's
it was there before.
Okay. So the Veterans Assistance Center will always be there. They don't have to be the administrators of the Veterans Relief Fund, Assistance Fund, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I just want to ask that question. That's what I thought.
I second the motion, if nobody else has seconded.
What's the motion?
The motion is to increase the stand-down funds from $8,000 to $11,000.
And is that funds for the upcoming year, 2019?
No, that's for.
No, that's there's a, there'll be a new contract in 19.
Okay. There'll be a new contract in 19, and will everybody have opportunity to bid for that contract?
Well, that will probably be a proposal that we put out.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how the assistance center got it.
Okay, all right. And it's, again, just making, just, yeah, I was just wondering if it's being offered to everybody out there.
Actually, I think you've had to, had two contracts, have you not, Judy?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Because I was chair at the time when you got the first one. Okay. Well, we have a motion. We have a second. We've discussed it, uncussed it, and one other thing, but nevertheless, now is the time to vote. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, contrary, sign. Passed.
So, just to make sure I have this right, the motion was just for the stand down, so we do need a motion
right.
for the increase for staffing.
We'll get to that.
I just make sure I had it right.
You had it right for the stand down. Which is a line item on their budget request,
yep.
And we'll come back to the total, and that will increase that total by another $3,000. However, we need to recommend to the council that they go ahead and pass the $625,197, and we will need a motion for that if we.
Don't you mean 628 though?
628.
Well, it'd be 628 now with that. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. We're just going to approve the initial request of $625,000.
That's a line item, and we actually took care of that particular one, and then we'll have to add that on to $625,000.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion
that
we approve increasing their budget to $625,197.
Okay, and then we will add the extra $3,000 to that budget.
That's already been approved.
That's already been approved.
Yes.
And so that increase is going to be $628,000 for the center. Okay.
I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Any further discussion?
I got it.
Yes.
Comment. I think the 12K increase for administrative costs is a good figure, but I think we should subtract $3,000 from the $21,000 personnel costs. Since we were so generous to just give away that extra $3,000, I think we should get this thing back in balance.
We're still within the 6%
yeah.
growth year over year, right?
Yeah, the 628,000.
Are we cutting our knees out if we're trying to?
How many
really
make our knees out? With the 12,000 increase for administrative, but the 21,000 I think should be reduced down to 18.
But that eliminates the part-time service officer you're trying to add in there to get further outreach into the community.
Yeah, I don't think we need that.
Well, then who's going to go out to the college? Who's going to go out to Clean Street? Who's going to go out into the
Dave, I think maybe it might be needed a later date, and I agree with that, but who is that person being hired? And we have a chance to kind of influence, the folks being hired where we get licensed peer supports or certified peer supports that are veterans, that are peer supports, that are trained in programs for certificates, that understand confidentiality, understand patients' rights, understand the dynamics of homelessness, understand the changing scene, people with credentials. I think that before we start offering to pay for new employees that we have to kind of look and see who is hired there now and what are some of the complaints. If you go to the Veterans Assistance Center, there are complaints. You know, you go and stand up front and you can hear just about any veteran story from employees. You know. Just by hiring somebody.
Well,
that's the argument. That's the point.
Okay. So
that's the point. I mean, so that's all I'm saying. Okay. Like, so where do we step in that process? Do we even step in? You might say, hey, look, dude, that's not even Alan. Hey, that's not even our business. You know what? Their contract will come up, and if they're not delivering, then we'll make a choice then. That's fine. I respect that, but I just want to throw it out there.
Yeah.
You know, so you might, you know, that might be your answer. You might say, hey, look, you know, there will be, you know, a day of judgment, you know, and it's not something we talk about right here. I'm okay with that.
Right.
It is our business when we are talking about veterans in Clark County.
That's what I believe. That's what I believe.
Well, that's by legislation.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice.
Right.
The bottom line is we're looking at a budget request. Do we think having that individual is a good thing? And if we have installed individuals in that center to go through the hiring process, then we have to trust that process.
True.
So,
fair enough.
I mean, I'm not sure what we're really getting. Well, I am sure what we're really getting at, but that's not what we're going to go into. The bottom line is, do we support having that position and that money for that position whenever a qualified individual applies for that position and goes through the proper interview process? I know that I am in the community every single day in a lot of different organizations dealing with a lot younger generation of veterans who do need outreach. I don't know where all you are going, but we don't have outreach in places that it needs to be, far and wide. Clark County is not a small county, and there are thousands of us in Clark County. So if we don't get our act together and we don't start reaching out to those places, to those vulnerable veterans who are right on the fence, they're going to be right back over here trying to access all of these services if we don't get them going forward. So what are we here for? Veterans. Well, crap. We have a Veterans Assistance Center. Is it staffed correctly? No, it's not. That's why it can't be as effective as it should be, because it doesn't have the staff needed to service the veterans that we have in our county. So what are we going to do about that? What should we do about that? Anybody disagree?
No, I think we hear what you're saying. I mean, I don't think that's the argument. You know, like, we need the outreach, okay? So
well,
that's
so
the argument.
It is an argument. I mean, that's how this got started. The bottom line is do we approve that? Do we agree with that or not as a board? So let's take a vote.
Mr. Chairman, one final point on this. Okay, so I think the Veterans Assistance Center staff has done a thorough and complete analysis on what they needed, and they came up with these increased amounts. And I
don't think we as a board should be questioning that
without allowing them to give it further analysis. So I think we should pass it as it's been presented.
And this is an increase, so the contract is still in place. And that's one of the issues that could pop up to us. We do have the chair for the council sitting back here today. Thank goodness. Welcome, Mark. I'm glad you're here. However, I understand where we're coming from when we talk about do we need. And then, yes, we do. So, I think that from my standpoint, and I've been beating around this county for a number of years. I came to this board some 17 years ago when we didn't provide veterans with a nickel. And, of course, we actually created a big fund at that particular time. But we've been able to take that money and help an awful lot of veterans because they were out there and they needed that help. Now, I have to go along with what the center is saying because that center pretty much followed what I developed for this county when it was put together. And so I would like to see us go ahead and maybe increase that particular line item a little bit. I don't know how much. How much do you think, Judy, that you could really need? Is this the number that you are for a second part-time?
This is the number that will allow me to hire a second half-time service officer.
Qualified?
Yes, absolutely.
Where's the information saying that's qualified, though? Can we get a printout? I mean, and so I'm not opposing spending the money on a person for outreach, but can we get some sort of data to back that? Can we get some sort of printout from JobSource?
I am not going to challenge that young lady that has taken over and worked, and she worked with me when I set the thing up, and I think that she has made the decision that she needs another person, and she will in fact pick the right person to fill that position because that person has got to work with the staff.
Mr. Chairman, I call for the question.
We have the motion. We have a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Contrary sign? Passed. Yeas, got it. So, make sure that we get the information. Going forward. Okay. The budget. I knew it was going to be lengthy, but we did. Now it comes to report time. First one, Michael. Appeals.
Appeals. Last month, for the month of June, we had 10 total, 2 approved, 8 denied. Both that were approved were for storage costs. The 8 that were denied, 5 of them was for rent, and that was because every one of them was still within the 24-month period of last receiving rent. There was one for a prescription for a special toothbrush. That was actually for a electronic toothbrush. And two were for, the other two that were denied was for auto assistance. One was over income, and let's see, the other, the car was registered in Oregon.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Do we have anything from policies and procedures?
Nothing. We haven't made any changes yet, but like Alan said, we are going to sit down. We are going to look, take another look at the policies and procedures and the contract, tracking of the contract and the changes, the $70,000. We're going to take another look at that and see how it compares with each other and if there's anything we need to change. But we have not done that yet. We are scheduling.
Okay.
And we will let Sam or you know when we're going, you'll email,
yeah. Yes.
So that everybody is invited to that meeting if they would like to be there, because we can use all the input we get.
Okay. Okay.
That's
very good. All right. Yes.
I got a comment about appeals. We're getting appeals, and we're getting these different requests, and some of them are clear cut. They're flat out no. So why are we even getting the dumb thing? I mean, it seems to me whoever's dealing with the vet in the first place should just say, you're not qualified, that's the end of it. Is that, I mean, why should we
That's where it comes in, having trained individuals administering these benefits, okay? That's why I'm saying that we need trained individuals administering these benefits, because you cannot necessarily trust somebody that's not the subject matter expert on the policy. So there's this uncertainty when you go to ask for benefits. That's why I'm saying that we need to start moving towards professional style case management, require professional style case management of the people that we choose to administer the Veterans Assistance Fund. There needs to be official policies and procedures set up by the organizations that stop those types of situations. And when people are subject matter experts, they have the skill set where they can actually stop that appeal.
Judy?
Well, first of all, the reason that we sent through those appeals is because we're required to. Any veteran who is denied, we are required to send an appeal if they request it.
That's correct.
Recently, this board changed the policies and procedures that from this point forward, the state mandated residency status and income is no longer appealable. But up through that last report that Mike gave you, that was not the case. It is the case now. And as far as us having qualified individuals, I've been working with this center since 2011, and I've been running this fund since 2014. And Sharon just received magna cum laude, her degree from Washington State University.
That's
and she
correct.
Can tell you in what, but she's certainly qualified to run this fund, and she's the full-time administrator.
Yeah, but she's not the case manager making the decision and telling people yes or no, giving people the opportunity to have appeals. She's in the back office, and she's administering, managing, you know, and I'm talking about the direct line workers.
I understand.
That's
what
I'm talking
about.
Right
now we have hired someone who is a case manager. That's what she does. That's what she's been doing. So,
in answer to your question, Ron, we are, by legislation, required to ensure that the veteran has an opportunity to appeal in regards to various and sundry things that they come up with each year, because we've had a bunch of them coming up fairly recent in the last four or five legislations, and that's not including their overtime that they put in. But nevertheless, Yeah, it's by regulation.
Yeah, okay. That part I did not know.
Yeah, and that's...
But I just, you know, we get these bills and they're obvious answer no, and then we wonder, well, why we get them in the first place. But if they have that right to make the appeal anyway...
They do, they have that right.
Even though it's going to be a no, well, so be it.
Mike's been doing this particular job for how many years, Mike?
I don't know.
long time. Mm-hmm. Probably almost as much as I have been here on the board. Okay. Anything else that we need to talk about in regards to quality of our business at this particular time? Before I go on into... Oh, my goodness there. Rebecca's opportunity here this afternoon.
Back to me.
Yes. Michael isn't here, so you have to do the reports and the fun report and all that good stuff.
I do. So I have the reports. They should have been sent to you in the meeting reminder.
Yep.
So we'll go over them real quick. In May, the Veterans Assistance Fund served seven households for rent, nine for utilities, 25 for food, 10 for transportation, one for burial services, three with work-related costs, six with auto repair costs, and one with a prescription. There was also three others, but I don't know what those are for, so I apologize. For a total services of $21,882.56. There were eight denials for utilities, rent and cable utility, and more utilities due to being over income, not eligible. Utilities were in Skamania County. A couple of those were approved through the appeal process. The center's report on the next page, they served 576 veterans who came into the center. 321 of them identified as being homeless. They had a total volunteer hours of 1,109 and a half hours with a value of $26,783, so lots of value for having the volunteers coming into the center. There's also a table that kind of shows a trend over time on the services, the number of people that have veterans that are coming into the center, and how many are homeless. Then with the free clinic for the dental program, there were six veterans who received care at three different clinics in May. Five received care from two different volunteers, one veteran from a contracted dentist. The care included four extractions, two fillings, and three x-rays. And they had a total value of care of $2,234, but we were only billed $812.17. And then on the very last page is the fund balance. In May, we received revenue of $45,465.44. We had total expenses of $37,289.13, and the fund balance is just under $700,000 at the end of May.
Rebecca, clarification question. Did you say that the veteran had to get money to pay for electricity through Skamania PUD? Or
no, it looked like it was a bill from Skamania.
Oh, okay.
Question about the volunteer hours. How's that calculated at $24.14 per hour?
$24.14 is the national volunteer rate. So if you were to Google it, you would see it'll pop up that the national rate for a volunteer hour is $24.14 for this year.
Okay. So I'd like to see that comparison to a person with a bachelor's degree with in social services. Going ready for
right here in Clark County for a social and human service assistant, having a degree is around $16 an hour. And so that's how you get the center at this time.
Let's find those types of things strange. services higher than it is to have a volunteer. And it's not that I don't want to spend the money, folks. I just want to make sure that the right guys and the right gals are there, and they're out there. They're out there because we need partners to collaborate with the veterans. Okay? We need people to be able to do that type of stuff. So.
But you're not paying that volunteer rate. That's just what it's worth.
That's what it's worth.
Correct.
Now, Judy, I have a couple questions for you. We actually had visits of 576 veterans in the month of May. We had 121 one-timers. 93 multi visits. So that figures out to be 214. My question is, the 362, what did they do?
Well, the 93 that had multiple visits, they could have come in every day.
Okay.
So the first figure that you saw, 120 something that had one time visits,
yeah,
they came in probably to see the fund. Then the other 93, if they came in to see the fund, they had to come back to bring paperwork. So.
Okay.
And all some right. of those 93 with multiple visits are the homeless guys that we see every single day.
All right. That's what I was getting at. The ones that hang out and that type of thing.
Yeah. So
and so, you know, the 362, there's been times that I've seen that many on the street right in front of your place.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
But nevertheless, that's good. I like your report, but there's so much of it that the board is not really interested in. I you know, maybe we'll get together one of these days and I'll point out what we really need and what you need for your assistance center. Because these are all important things that you have.
Well,
and
sure
we need to make sure that this type of a report gets to our council.
Right.
So
those are all things that we've been asked for to report from the county.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Now, veteran service officers, the American Legion, DAV, and VFW, just to name a few, and we've used the VFW from the 48 standpoint. Now, the VFW, their alleged experts, has retired. But I understand they have a couple other new people that's doing the job very well. Frank, you're in that category, so how do you feel about some of these service organizations and the quality of their service officers?
Well, Ben's not with them. DAV, we're the best. That's what they say. That's what they say.
I think
anybody that sits around and tries to help a veteran, I know sometimes it can be lengthy, and I know sometimes it takes forever for the paperwork to come back down. But just trying to stick with it and make them happy, and then they call you up 3 years later. Oh, you help me. Well, yeah, that's my job. You know, but the rest of them that work for the veterans, outstanding.
Okay, that's good. That's what I wanted to find out. Because a lot of these individuals go through the service's own training program.
Right.
And, you know, I've been there. I've been through the American Legion a couple of times. Yes, Ron.
Yeah, the VBA, Vietnam Veterans American Clark County, does an outstanding job as well.
I didn't have that information whether they still did theirs at that particular time, and that's great. That's great. I have recommended the 48 start. A service program, but at this point they have not. Of course, after 1 September, we may get that started. Judy?
The center is having training on July 27th and July 28th from the American Legion. We have 6 people signed up for that training to be veteran service officers, volunteers.
Volunteers?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. That's good. Okay, let us move on. There was a couple other things here, but we'll talk about that in your office, okay? All right. Where are we at here now? We've got, you're on, Judy. Give us an update as to what the center is doing.
Well, I think we've pretty much covered it. I mean,
Have anything else?
We've hired Denise Bender, who is, any of you that know her know that she's well qualified to be out there doing outreach, to be in the office doing fund assistance stuff, to be case managing. I mean, now that we have some funds to be able to put her out there, then we certainly will be doing that. She started on Monday.
Good, good.
And she just picked it right back up, so.
Well, I know. She we've talked about it several times.
Yes.
She's been in for breakfast and this type of thing, so we're okay with that.
So we're happy to get her. And we also, as I said, are training 6 new veteran service officers.
That's great too.
At the end of July. We will have a booth at the county fair from the 3rd through the 12th of August. It will be manned from 9:45 in the morning until 10:15 at night, again, with our staff and our volunteers.
Good.
We will be out there passing out information, advertising what the center does, and inviting all the veterans to come and see if we can help them in any way.
I'm sorry, Judy, what event is that at?
I'm sorry.
What event is that?
Fair.
Fair. Thank you.
Clark County Fair, yes, August 3rd through the 12th.
I'll see you on Tuesday. Veterans Day.
Also, Sharon and I have signed up to go to the WDVA Veterans Conference, so we will be seeing you there.
Very good, because David and I are going to be up there in Wenatchee.
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right. Moving on then, we got the Assistance Center.
One more thing. August 25th. We will have our annual car show at the field, Touchmarks Field, which is 164th and 29th Avenue.
Where is it?
The field, Touchmark.
164th Avenue in Southeast Village Loop, or Southeast 29th Street.
You know where that IHOP is? It's right across the street from IHOP on 164th.
We're going to put something out on that. Yeah.
We have sent it to 48A. We sent it to
Dixie.
CMAC. We sent it to.
Put this out last meeting.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook and our website.
I didn't hear the word warriors.
That was just a publicity stunt. There's still actually IHOP. They were just doing IHOP just to try to let people know about their burgers.
Okay, we're ready for some unfinished business.
Mr. Chair, the only thing we had under unfinished business was our Veterans Advisory Board meeting location that we tabled from last month's meeting.
Okay. We seem to be housed here in the county administration facility, 6th floor, can't get any higher. Do we want to stay?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to stay. And I noticed that last month I gave out my recommendation where you could park. I noticed there were several vehicles parked there.
Okay.
I think some people here took advantage.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you did.
I had more trouble. I had to park on the other side of the street.
And Mr. Chair, I just would like to also add that we were also partially discussing about researching CBTV funding, and that information was forwarded to Samantha. I did get a chance to talk with the staff briefly at CBTV. They do want us back. They definitely want to have our program. They want to put our meeting back on CBTV, but it's all going to hinge upon the funding that the county manager's office needs to do for us.
So I have an update on that from Samantha. She got an email from Jim Demen with the City of Vancouver for the CBTV. They said that they would be able to resume the normal coverage in the 2019-20 time year for doing CBTV, no cost to the fund. They would not be able to do it for the remainder of this year. If the Veterans Advisory Board would like the remainder of the year, the cost would be between $614 and $697 per meeting. And the difference is if you have the information broken out by agenda item, so if everything is just kind of in one recording, just one, you fast forward through wherever yourself, then it's $614. If you have it broken out where they pause it and you can link to a specific agenda item, then it's $697. And so the total for the remaining meetings, August through December, would be just over $3,000. I also have information that shows that there was an average of 14 views per meeting in 2017 through their link. They have no way of knowing how many people are watching it on TV live, but they did say that there's approximately 83,000 cable subscribers. And I will say I have been noticed, but I've had friends tell me they've seen me on TV at this meeting in the past.
That's very true. Very
true. I think that speaks towards our recognition of the board is continuing with the broadcast of our meetings. Because that's how I came to know about the board, is just scrolling through the TV. So I think that would be very important for us to continue a presence.
Do you you want to make a motion to that extent for the
$3,000?
$3,070.
How much?
$3,070.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we pay the $3,070 so that we can get back on TV for the remainder of this calendar year.
I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any discussion?
So where's, I think it's where's a great idea. From? A lot of people out there like it. They want to watch it.
I can say, where's the money coming from?
Clarification.
It's going to come out of the fund.
Clarification, they said they would be doing it at no charge for 1920?
Correct.
Because the funding would come from the county manager's fund.
Okay, but it's not going to run out of mid-year. It's going to be the entire
right.
Fiscal year.
If we do the rest of this year, it has to come from us.
Correct.
Yeah, it's going to come out of the fund. So we're going to have to file with that, with the fund. It's a program. It's a program to inform veterans of what we are doing, and a lot has to do with the quality of our service officers and the quality of what we do and how we do it and all of these other things that we talk about, housing, and we talk about food, we talk about getting cars repaired and all that. So that's the one element that we have here in this facility is the TV. So if we're going to stay here, we might as well have it on TV. Shut up.
Seriously, you got a flip phone.
Oh, my goodness. That's somebody else.
Well, I think my opinion is that that's a small amount that we can put out for the remaining year to reach all the veterans in the community.
I think that'll be a really good thing. Oh, come on.
$10.
No, it's not an emergency. It's not an emergency. I know who it is.
It's your girlfriend.
No, it's not my girlfriend either.
You want to modify your motion?
Yes.
My girlfriend's sitting right here.
Call the question. Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to modify my motion. I'd like to state that we paid $3,070 for the CCTV, but to also remain here at this location so that in the future we can continue broadcasting from this location.
You actually want to really make it complicated, don't you?
I just want to make it stick.
Okay, that's good.
It's already done. Bring it down.
You got it? Got it? That's great. All right.
Second amendment.
Second.
And there's a second to the motion. I don't know who that person is, but I'm going to tell them, don't do that. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, contrary, sign. Passed.
Floor director again.
Well, yeah.
Floor director.
We'll have all the mics in front of us, so there we go. Okay. Anything else for unfinished business?
I have one thing.
Yes.
Concerning marketing services here. I would like to be able to go out and put flyers or some kind of thing underneath bridges where homeless veterans hang out in the community. Like I said previously, make a simple statement. Are you a veteran? Do you need help? And then put a phone number on it. I really think veterans don't have computers. You know, they're not going to know who to get in touch with. You know, I just think it would be that extra step. It wouldn't cost that much money. I would be happy to do that.
Okay.
So how about a telephone number and an address?
Whatever we want to put on there. But I'll get a plan together that I'll present next time, if you don't mind.
That's good.
Whatever that might cost, it shouldn't be that much. They're just flyers.
I believe there's a brochure that has all that information available, so it's already created.
Okay. We need to be weatherproof.
I can bring another one. Actually, there is. There's someone that started one here in Park County. It's called the Pocket Guide.
Okay.
It's waterproof. They're always looking for people to help support that.
Okay.
The Center All right. and Veterans is in there. They actually went out and interviewed a whole bunch of people.
Okay.
I'd be more than happy to bring them there.
We discussed that idea probably 3-4 years ago, and it wasn't pursued.
Yeah, I'll pursue it.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you.
Are we still on old business?
No. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we finalize the social media aspect of promoting? Board, did we finalize that? I know it was discussed at previous meetings, but did we ever come up with a definitive plan as to reaching out via Facebook, Twitter, you know, whatever the other avenues are?
Well, I think it was said that as a board we can't do that, but we could do that through the center.
Through the center.
Links to the videos,
right.
And so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have,
and
you
we
have,
certainly have, yes.
You have that
have,
social media.
We have Matthew Hunt, who is our webmaster. He has spent quite a bit of time revamping our website. Unfortunately, on Tuesday, Bluehost took us down, our email and our website. So he is reconstructing that. It'll be up by tomorrow. But our Facebook is always current. So we have social media out there, website and Facebook and Twitter. So.
Okay. All right. Good. Satisfied?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Very good. All right. New business. The note I have down here is the WDVA review for the contract, which we will get done. And that will probably be part of the policies and procedures activity. That new contract that I haven't had a chance to go through yet. Okay. Any other new business that we need? Anything, Mike?
No.
Okay. Greg, anything? Okay. Brian, anybody? Okay. Hearing none, open forum.
All right, there's one thing. September 8th, that's a Saturday. 8:30 to 5:30, Marine Corps League fundraiser, car wash out on Highway 99. kids support all the dormitory places and have these fundraisers. So include us, please, by all means.
What's the date?
September 8th, Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5:30.
And where is that located?
Hisdale Car Wash, 76 Union Station.
Yeah.
6200 Northwest.
I'd love to be there, but I'll be back in getting ready to go to Kentucky.
The funds we raised go to help support the children, boys and girls of Young Marines program, Navy veteran, corpsman, surgeon, marine units.
Good, good. That's good. Really good stuff.
Serve at the VA hospital, driving those little dinghy carts down there, and run around on
golf.
Golf cart, yeah. We run around in those. I do a lot of different stuff in the community.
Okay.
You guys are wearing your silkies.
Anything else? Anything else for the good? Good or for the open forum. Hearing none at this time. How about adjournment? Do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
We second.
Just disappeared.
Edie Mount.
Time to Edie Mount. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it.